It is the State Capitol Report on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. With budget writing season and the legislative session underway, we discuss funding priorities over the next 2 years in the State Department of Justice with Attorney General Josh Call here. Join in with your questions, your comments on crime-fighting efforts, law enforcement funding, public safety, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Attorney General Josh Call, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me. Good morning, Kate.
Good morning. You want to increase the State Department of Justice's next two-year budget. Just comparing the last biennial budget with the one you're proposing, it looks like it's more than $179 million more. What would the agency accomplish with more funding?
Our budget request is focused on public safety. We've got to do more to fight violent crime, the opioid epidemic, and work to make sure our schools are safe across the state of Wisconsin. And in our budget request, we've proposed investments that can do a lot to make communities safer across the state. A big part of the number you just cited is requested investments ultimately in things like local law enforcement and local services. We've proposed creating several grant programs for things like community policing, officer recruitment, retention, and wellness, mental health crisis response, treatment and diversion, and other things. But we've also requested some critical resources for the Department of Justice, for our Division of Criminal Investigation, which investigates crimes of statewide importance, as well as funding that would ensure that our Office of School Safety, which has been a big success in its first few years, is able to keep working and doing the important work it does to keep our schools safe.
You mentioned the Division of Criminal Investigations, the department seeking to hire almost 20 more special agents and analysts. What could that accomplish?
We're fortunate at the Department of Justice to be able to hire the very best investigators from around the state who investigate the most serious offenses. They investigate homicides, sexual assaults, fraud, arsons, drug trafficking. Those investigators regularly work with law enforcement across the state of Wisconsin on some of our most difficult cases. Being able to have additional investigators and analysts who can work on whether it's violent crime cases or internet crimes against children cases, that's going to help us solve more of these cases and make sure that when people commit serious crimes, they're being held accountable.
Last year, you had faced criticism over vacancies in the Division of Criminal Investigations, particularly, you said you had expected special agent staffing to be at full capacity by the end of last year. Did you reach that target?
Yeah, our focus, we were in the midst of a hiring process last year. And actually today, there are, I believe it's 16 new special agents who are starting at the Wisconsin Department of Justice. We have a few additional positions that we're hoping to hire soon as well. But we are in a very good position right now in terms of our staffing at the Wisconsin Department of Justice. And, but like all employers, it's making sure that positions remain filled can be a challenge at times. But I'm really happy with where we are right now.
Police departments are, as you mentioned, also struggling with this issue, trying to bring in qualified police recruits and maintain staffing levels. How would your budget address police officer recruitment and retention?
We've proposed a significant investment in officer recruitment, retention, and wellness. What I'd like to see is a grant program that would allow agencies to develop new ideas, to try different things out and have some funds for that so we could help with the recruitment process. I think there are a number of things that could be helpful, including making sure that there's strong community engagement so that members of the community know what their law enforcement agencies are up to. Law enforcement officers across the state do really important work every day to make a difference. Making sure that folks know what's going on, I think, will encourage people to apply. But also investing in things like training and career development can help with retention. And I'd like to see more investment in officer wellness programs. There are a number of great peer support programs around the state, but making those more broadly available, I think, will help. Officers face incredibly difficult circumstances day to day, and having somebody to talk to who's experienced similar challenges I think can make a big difference.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call, leads the State Department of Justice. Call in about the issues you have with public safety in your community, law enforcement staffing, and other issues related to law enforcement. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. When you look at all of these proposals you have in your budget request, I'm just wondering, how does our state's historic budget surplus inform what you're putting forth here, inform your budget request?
I think we have a once-in-a-generation opportunity to make critical investments in areas where there has been underinvestment for a long time. As we have a historically large budget surplus right now, and unfortunately, there has been underfunding of public safety and our criminal justice system in Wisconsin for a long time. This is an opportunity to invest just a portion of that surplus into public safety. Those are the kinds of proposals we've made, recognizing that this is an opportunity to make real investments that can ensure that our justice system is adequately funded for the years ahead. So I'm hopeful that lawmakers will see this as an opportunity to really invest in public safety. You know, if you look at the recent elections we had, that was one of the major focuses of both Democratic and Republican communications. This is an issue where there is bipartisan interest, and I'm hopeful that our legislature will live up to what we heard people talking about during the campaign and make a real investment in this budget in public safety.
Turning to mental health now, we heard Governor Evers in the State of the State address with a plan to call for $500 million to expand access to mental health and behavioral health resources. How could your budget proposal affect, mental health and public safety?
Well, first, I was really glad to see the governor make that proposal and to declare this year the year of mental health. This is another area where we really need investment. There's limited access to providers in a lot of parts of the state. Making a meaningful investment can really help us work to address the mental health challenges that people across the state are facing. We've focused on a few things in our request that specifically relate to mental health. One is that we have a mental health crisis response system in Wisconsin that really needs to be updated. It's based on an outdated model. It hasn't had the resources it needed. One of the things we've proposed is investing in mental health crisis response so that when there is a crisis, not only law enforcement officers, but also mental health professionals or social workers or others can respond to those crisis situations. We also have proposed expanding the treatment alternatives and diversion program, which creates supports drug courts, for example. We've proposed expanding that to allow it to, among other things, cover mental health courts as well, so that if people end up in the criminal justice system because of a mental health issue, we're able to address that underlying issue and get folks the treatment that they need so that when they do exit the justice system, they're much less likely to come back into the system again.
Attorney General Josh Call with us to discuss pressing issues in the State Justice Department. Call in with your thoughts, your questions at any point about the work of DOJ, 800-642-1234. This is a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're in conversation with Attorney General Josh Call on a range of issues involving public safety, law enforcement, crime fighting, budget, staffing. Call in with your questions for the Attorney General. Share what's on your mind, 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. You have been under scrutiny in the past, DOJ has, over the crime lab taking too long to test DNA and other evidence. What are you doing to speed up testing without damaging quality?
Well, first, our crime lab does outstanding work, and it plays a critical role in our criminal justice system. When there's evidence collected of a variety of different types, whether it's DNA evidence or controlled substances that need to be tested, our crime labs test that evidence and make sure that we get accurate information to investigators and prosecutors and everybody involved in the case to help solve those cases. And one of the things that we've done over time is actually enhance the work that the crime lab is doing. So in DNA, for example, our crime lab has upgraded the type of analysis it does. So it now uses what's known as probabilistic genotyping, which allows the crime lab to get results in more cases and identify DNA in more cases. But with that more complex process also means that there's more time that goes into each individual case that's analyzed. So one of the things we've asked for in the upcoming state budget is resources for our state crime lab, additional resources. That's another area where there's really been underfunding for years and years. And so using this historic budget surplus to make an investment in the crime labs is going to help ensure that evidence continues to be efficiently and accurately tested for years to come. So I'm hopeful that we'll see the legislature make that investment.
So you see those 16 DNA analysts and toxicologists, other staffers, would make a real impact on the time it takes to process DNA based on the intricacy of the process.
Absolutely. You know, one of the big factors in how long it takes to turn results around is the number of cases that are submitted, but then also the number of analysts that we have who are able to conduct that testing. And with more analysts, we're going to be able to get those tests done faster. Toxicologists, I would note, are particularly important in a variety of ways. But one of the things that we've done with our toxicology is increase the ability to detect small samples in toxicology. And that's really important because right now, what's really driving a lot of the overdose deaths we're seeing is fentanyl that's mixed into other drugs, drug mixtures. Making sure that fentanyl is detected both helps us ensure that when charges are issued, they appropriately reflect the severity of the offense, but it also helps us make sure that we're fully understanding what's happening with this opioid crisis and the role that fentanyl is playing in driving overdose deaths and other challenges that we're facing.
Speaking of caseloads, the State Bar Association says a lack of prosecutors and public defenders is approaching a constitutional crisis. Is your agency receiving more requests to take over cases due to the caseloads of local attorneys?
I haven't compared numbers from one year to the next. We regularly work with DA's offices around the state as cases come up. And usually our office gets involved if one of certain factors is present. For example, there's a conflict that prevents a DA's office from handling a case, or there's a special type of expertise involved, and we have a prosecutor who has that expertise. But generally speaking, there is no question that there needs to be investment in the justice system, just as we were talking about before. DA's offices are facing challenges with recruitment and retention. Pay for ADAs is way below what a lot of new attorneys make in the private sector. And so hiring those new ADAs and then keeping them on staff, particularly when they may be facing significant law school debt, can be a real challenge. Likewise with public defenders, you know, they're facing some of the same issues. And it's important to note why that's so important from a public safety standpoint, because if a defendant isn't able to get a defense lawyer assigned, the case can't move forward. And so that delays justice for the victims. It delays the justice system from moving forward. So again, as we were talking about before, we have an opportunity in this budget to make a historic investment, a one-time generational investment in the justice system that's going to help ensure that this underfunding we've seen for decades is addressed. So, you know, this is really, we're not going to regularly have budget surpluses this large. So using this opportunity to make an investment, I think, is critical.
I mean, the DA offices are really forced when they have such an influx and are really scrambling with not enough staff. They have to ask the question, what is justice? If these cases are delayed, you know, what is justice? What do you prioritize? What would you tell them?
Well, first, again, it's having these shortages are bad for public safety. They're bad for fairness in the justice system, because when our prosecutors and everybody involved in the process is able to think about a case, make an informed judgment, you're more likely to make sure that if somebody is a danger to the community, that's reflected in the actions the prosecutor takes. You're also better able to fashion a remedy that makes the most sense. So, for example, in drug court, there's a lot of time that goes into those cases, but they can also make a big impact on somebody who's struggling with substance use disorder and on public safety. You know, that being said, we always are working with fewer resources than we need. The priority has to be the most significant crimes, the most significant offenses. And so whether it's violent crimes or large-scale drug trafficking, internet crimes against children, or other serious offenses, making sure that those cases are the top priority is the way that we approach things at the Department of Justice. And I certainly hope is the way that prosecutors around the state, and I think it is, are approaching the cases that they're handling.
We have Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call leads the State Department of Justice. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Let's turn to the clergy investigation. DOJ continues to seek reports of abuse in the clergy and faith leader investigation that was launched 2 years ago. What are your next steps in this investigation?
Well, as you said, we are continuing to encourage anybody who has any information about clergy and faith leader abuse to report. Every report that we receive goes through a process and is carefully reviewed. We have multidisciplinary teams that consist of a prosecutor, an investigator, and a victim advocate who review each report and make an assessment about what the appropriate next step is with that case. If there's a potential criminal investigation, then we work with local law enforcement or the DA so that that case can be followed up on appropriately. But even if there's not a potential criminal enforcement, for example, because the case is outside the statute of limitations, we still want to make sure that we've gathered the relevant information. We think it's critical that the lists that are out there of credibly accused faith leaders are accurate and up to date. We also want to make sure we're connecting survivors who report with victim services so that anybody who wants to have access to victim services can have that access. And then at the end of this process, we'll be issuing a report that summarizes what we've done and what we've learned through the course of this review. So that process is ongoing. We, again, encourage anybody who has any information to report to our office, and every report goes through that process I just mentioned.
Are you surprised by the response so far?
You know, I've been encouraged by the number of people who have reached out with information. We are over 200 people contacting our office. And, you know, to me, that says that people across the state recognize that we are taking this very seriously and feel comfortable reporting and providing information. And, you know, we're going to continue to follow the facts where they lead with each and every report that we receive.
Let's land on human trafficking. Your department launched the Wisconsin Anti-Human Trafficking Task Force. What are the initial priorities here?
One of the things we do to fight crime in the state of Wisconsin is work to address human trafficking. We have a bureau in our Division of Criminal Investigation that focuses on internet crimes against children and human trafficking. And our Division of Criminal Investigation has partnered with victim services providers to launch this anti-human trafficking task force in Wisconsin. One of the things that our investigators see when they investigate these cases is often when they first encounter the victims of human trafficking, those victims don't immediately, their first hope is often not to cooperate with law enforcement. Human traffickers try to take advantage of vulnerabilities that they think are present, whether that's somebody having a lack of access to affordable housing or substance use disorder or mental health issues. And connecting survivors of trafficking with victim services can help address those critical issues. Once those issues are addressed, that can help empower survivors to work with law enforcement and ultimately hold the trafficker accountable. So having this partnership between victim advocates and law enforcement is critical.
Attorney General Josh Call, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Josh Call became Wisconsin's 45th Attorney General in 2019, reelected to a second term in November. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.